With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And now we bring him in as we do every single week at this time, right at 9 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. He was there at very chilly First Energy Stadium, and I'm just wondering now if he is in possession of the touchdown glasses. Do you have them, Jim?
I do not have it. I'm sorry.
We can't find them. Somebody has to have them. I don't understand. Yeah. We asked, does it go to the Green Bay Packers because they scored the final touchdown?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I would say the Packers are in possession of that.
So it's the fourth quarter. They're up by 14. I know that you talk a lot to Gibbs and all those guys in the booth. Was there a conversation at all going, they're still not out of the woods yet?
Yeah, I thought so, Ken. I remember saying that we were in uncharted waters right now, at least for this season, that we've never had a lead like this, and we've never had it that late. But it felt pretty good, you know, early on. It felt like, especially when Green Bay, in that one drive in the second half when they went down and they had the kind of the blown play on fourth down and they came out of that drive. It was like a 13-play drive, and they didn't get any points. And I thought that drive was going to come back and haunt them for the remainder of the day, and ultimately they'd look back and say, wow, that thing fell apart. We didn't get any points on that, and that probably cost us the game. Usually when that type of thing happens, it really does come back at the end of the day and really come back and kind of, you know, nip at you, and that's the reason you lost the game. So I was feeling, not totally safe. I mean, after all, we're watching the Cleveland Browns, but I was feeling, pretty good that it seemed as though the stadium had a feel, and it seemed as though the way the team was playing, it had a feel like today would have, yesterday would have been the day, and that they would have finally won the football game.
Jim Donovan, join us on the hotline. Take us through what happened there in overtime on the interception. It looked like the entire play design was get Josh Gordon the football, which is understandable. They weren't able to do it in the second half. But then in overtime, they go to him. He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. And then we see what we've seen so often with DeShone Kizer, which is when that pocket breaks down, he loses sight. It was Joey Bosa all over again, this time Clay Matthews Jr. on that pass. What did you see?
Well, just like you're saying, I mean, it was obvious that, earlier in the day, much earlier, obviously, because Gordon hadn't caught a football, in the second half of the football game. But very early in the day, there was a third down and a short distance to get a first down. In fact, it might have been a third down and two. And they hit Gordon on a quick slant. And I remember saying to Doug during the game, right after that play, I said, that is just almost impossible to defend. So third and two in overtime, you're thinking, well, let's dial up the play that's impossible to defend. And certainly the way they had it aligned and the way that they were going to go with it. I mean, they had everybody over on the left side, Gordon isolated on the right side to get one-on-one coverage, obviously. So at least, it's not like you were fooling anybody. But I think when it works, it is so indefensible by the opposing team that I just think it is a good play to dial up. And after all, I mean, I think he's your best player right now. So, when they went to him, I mean, he immediately took the snap. There's no doubt about it. He's looking right at him. And I think he becomes very flustered when he sees that he can't get him early. And then he kind of ducks underneath some early pressure and gets up into the pocket. And then, as a young Catholic boy, going into the confessional on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, to rid my soul of my sins, I would say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And at that point, that's what DeShone Kizer needed to do because he committed, some sins at that point. I mean, he threw across his body. He threw with pressure on him, with Matthews kind of hanging off of him. And obviously, the worst possible situation. If it was a baseball game, it was an infield fly roll because that's how that ball just dangled up in the air with nothing but, white jerseys hovering around it. It was almost as if, who was going to get it? I mean, the only hope I think the Browns had is that the four Packers might bump into each other and all get a little bit greedy and not come up with a football. You know, there was it was a terrible decision. It had a terrible outcome to it. It you know, a devastating play on a day that he had played very, very well, you know, leading up really until the late stages of the game.
Yeah, and he's thrown so many interceptions now. It's really become a vice. So it's all true, Jim. You look at the prevent defense. Why? If everybody says prevent defense prevents you from winning, why do guys still run it?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I think a lot of it, Ken, is clock. I think that they feel that, you know, the clock becomes more of your enemy than the other team does. I think that they felt that they had controlled their running game, which had become a kind of a thing that the Packers offense had been leaning on since Aaron Rodgers had gone down. And definitely in the last couple of weeks when they had perked up a bit, it was their running game with those young rookie running backs, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, kind of doing the bulk of the, you know, the offensive task for them. But that wasn't working. The Browns were controlling that. You know, there were a couple of runs, but really only a couple. And for the most part, I mean, they were really kind of stuffing the run. Hundley wasn't really hurting them with his legs at that point. And I think that they just felt, we just don't want to get beat deep. Greg Williams has been obviously the apostle of that. This is becoming a very religious discussion. He's become the apostle of that as the whole season has gone on with the whole Jabril Peppers thing, not getting beat over your head. So with guys like Jordy Nelson and Adams and Cobb, I think that they just said, we're going to keep them in front of us. And I think that they were playing the clock more than they were playing the Packers. And all of a sudden it really became a factor in the game. But the big thing was really, you know, even before the overtime session, the punt return is just something that cannot happen, you know, to give up that kind of punt return. Because even if they're playing them back there, if he makes the catch of the punt and maybe he gets a couple of yards on the return, but certainly not 65, you know, you've got them pinned back and maybe you're going to play them and you're going to grind that clock down at that point. But that punt return, you know, just tipped everything over as far as giving them, you know, well beyond a short field.
Well, the offense ran like a symphony in the first half, and he had the great shovel pass to Duke Johnson right in the end zone. I mean, it was just fantastic. And then I see what's going on defense. You just mentioned special teams. We brought up the offense, too, with passing. We blamed it so many times. I've said that they're so young, they're naive, they don't know any better, and they're more comfortable playing from behind. That's just what they've gotten used to. Could I say the same for maybe the coaching as well?
Boy, that's a good question, Ken. I don't know what happened to them. I don't necessarily feel that it was really Green Bay that was stopping them. I just think that it was, they were just kind of, you know, moseying their way through things as far as, trying to just end the football game before the football game was ready to end. And before it was, you know, before the game was over, they were trying to make it over, and you have to play it to the end. They learned a very harsh lesson with that yesterday. But you're right, there were a lot of things that were working offensively. You know, as you go back of the whole season, never has there been a game all year long where so much was working. I mean, because you had Gordon working early. I don't know what happened after that. It seems to me as the day went on yesterday, I will say this to you, that as the game went on and got deeper and deeper into the game, Josh Gordon, I don't know that he got tired, as you know, physically tired in the game, but I did notice a number of times he had a difficult time getting lined up the proper way. And there were a couple of times where they had to call timeouts, as a matter of fact, because he was the guy that was not aligned the proper way. There was another time, I believe, where they ended up almost, they might have gotten flagged for a penalty because they weren't lined up the proper way. In fact, I think it was number 12 that ended up as the number being called. So he became very distant in the attack as far as not only getting the football to him, but him seeming to understand what they were calling, you know, where he was supposed to be when he was aligning. That was the same trait that happened a few years ago when he came back for the final six games of that season, and he only played five games. There were points, you know, as the game got deeper and deeper where he was running a wrong route. I'm not saying he ran wrong routes yesterday, but there were times where he just didn't seem to understand where he was supposed to be on the football field. And so that became a problem. But back to my original point, I don't think that there was a time where, you know, as much was working for the Browns all season long as there was yesterday. Coleman was involved. You know, the tight ends, as much as they wanted them to be involved, they were involved. Crowell was over 100 yards. You know, Kaiser was throwing the ball with really good rhythm at points in the game. You know, just really pumping the ball in there. And then really suddenly it just kind of all came down to, you know, it shut it down. But I think more or less they shut it down more than Green Bay shut them down.
Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Browns, also sports director over at WKYC. The report yesterday from Mike Florio, belief persists that John Dorsey will try to hire his own coach. We know that John Dorsey was there yesterday, kind of camping out there in the locker room. And I'm just wondering, Jim, what he's thinking watching a team blow a 14-point lead, a coach go 1-28 now where everybody is going to be held accountable. Do you believe that right now Hugh Jackson will be back with the Browns next year?
Anthony, I do, because I'm going to take them at their face value of what they were saying, you know, late last week when the hire was made, because I think there would have been sweeping changes, you know, just like the Giants had done earlier in the week, if they were going to make that kind of a move, where the Giants fired the general manager and the head coach. Now the Browns obviously relieved Sashi Brown of his duties. And I think if they were going to do it, they would have done it at that point, you know, to make the move at the head coaching spot. If that was part of the package, if that was part of the deal that, hey, you're going to get the opportunity to hire your own coach, then I think that probably would have happened at that point in time, because they were just, you know, so vocal about the point that, that Hugh is, he's coming back next year. And, you know, I have to take them at what they said in their word. I really do believe it goes back to the point that the Haslams, you know, really like Hugh. They believe in Hugh in some fashion. They feel that, as they said, as Jimmy Haslam said on Friday, that, you know, that they let Hugh down as far as the roster was concerned, or the people selecting that roster for him. And I think that that still is the case. Now, you know, there are three more weeks to go. I think everything that John Dorsey said on Friday happened yesterday once again. The team played very, very hard. I mean, it's 0-12 going into the game against a team that had a significant amount riding on that football game, and the Green Bay Packers, as far as their playoff lives are concerned, there was still a lot to play for. And the Browns, I thought, outplayed them through most of that football game, and that's pretty amazing for a team that was winless at that point in the season. I still think that's the biggest thing that Hugh has going for him, plus the fact that, you know, what the state of the roster and how he can kind of throw his hands up and say, you know, this roster wasn't the way I would have gone, you know, if I had been more involved in the selection of it.
Jim Donovan joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. So I know you got the Bears coming up, even though Mitch looked really good yesterday against Cincinnati, and it puts Marvin right there on the hot seat. But are you thinking now at 0-13 that they got to look at 0-16 now?
Well, I thought yesterday, before the game, I thought yesterday was, you know, a game that was very winnable. You don't have Aaron Rodgers playing in that game. Green Bay is, missing other key people too. And I thought that there was a little excitement, and I thought that there was a little bit more of attention to details with a new set of eyes kind of hovering over the organization, with a new general manager being in place and getting the opportunity to watch the team. I think everybody was minding their P's and Q's and trying to play even a little bit better than they had the week before that one. So I thought the game was very winnable, and of course, as it played out, it was even more than that, and it became a tragedy that they ended up losing the game. Baltimore, you know, even in a horrible loss last night in Pittsburgh, still has the opportunity to win out, I believe, and make it into the AFC playoffs. So the game becomes, on Sunday, a huge game for them. The Bears game would still be the one that, even a couple of weeks ago, that I would have said to you looks like the game that can be winnable for them, you know, even though it's on the road. You're going to match up a young quarterback against another young quarterback, I would assume, with Kaiser still being in there. That game still seems to look as though it has a twist to it that you could say that you could go in there, play well, and come out of there with a victory. But you're going to have to play well, because the Bears are starting to generate a little bit better as far as playing better week to week, and Trubisky, I think, is getting a little bit more comfortable winning at that point. I don't know what Pittsburgh is going to need to do in the final week, but we're right there, Ken. I have to tell you, we're right there at 0-13 with only three shots to go, and you know, I do believe that it's going to be difficult, you know, for the team to overcome what happened yesterday and now try and build back up and get ready to try and win one of these football games in the remaining three.
I wonder. I thought it was the worst of the 28 that they've had under Hugh Jackson. To have that type of win, to be up 14 And then to lose it like that, I thought it was the worst. Do you think that the refs are getting, or do you think that they're getting jobbed by the refs a little bit?
You know, I didn't, you know, yesterday, I didn't walk away from there yesterday saying that they got shortchanged a great deal. Now, I, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, in the Peppers call down in Cincinnati, I know that when we talked about that, I felt as though there might be a little hidden, you know, feeling by officiating crews that this team's winless and, you know, they don't earn the call sometimes. They'll never get the benefit of the doubt until they start winning. I, you know, that game I can walk away from out of Paul Brown Stadium that day and have a little bit of a raw feeling about the way the officiating went. I didn't walk out of there yesterday, you know, with a bad feeling about it. I mean, I really felt as though the game was, you know, that the Browns, you know, made some bad plays. I mean, you know, that early in the game, there were some just horrid penalties. I mean, you know, you go back to the kid, Kai Nakua, you know, that, you know, he headbutts, I think it was Devontae Adams after the play. They would have been punting from out of their own end zone if he doesn't do that, because it was a third down play. They missed the pass. Play is over. He gets involved in a chirping incident with the Adams and ends up headbutting him, and that's when the flag comes out. And they end up, you know, instead of punting from out of their own end zone, they get a first down at their own 21-yard line. So, you know, I thought that they made their own bet on a couple of plays and committed their own penalties. But I just didn't feel yesterday that – I think that the Browns beat themselves. I don't think that the Packers beat them. I thought the Browns beat themselves. I didn't think the officials beat them at all yesterday.
Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Browns, joining us on the hotline. One last thing here. I mean, they – you know, the 0-16 thing, the talk about the parade, it's really upsetting Ken here in studio because, you know, that's something that they're going to have to wear forever. I'll let Ken speak for himself, but I do want to know, Jim, I mean, 0-16, you know, that looking like it could be a big-time reality, what would that mean? I mean, history of Browns football, this iconic franchise here in this city, what would 0-16 mean to you?
Well, it would mean the lowest of the lows. I mean, it really would, especially, you know, coming off a 1-15 from the year before, Anthony. I really felt last year was really difficult to go through. And it wasn't like we were told it was going to be great going into the season. I'm talking about last year. I think, you know, everybody felt, hey, it's going to be rough, and we went through it. But I thought those days were past us, that, you know, we went through the 1-15 almost like a badge of honor. We survived it, and now we came into this season. And though I didn't think we were going to be 9-7 or even 7-9, I just thought we were going to be better. I thought we were going to have some wins. I thought that season last year was going to be fading in our rearview mirror, never to be visited again. And now here we are. We're in the same situation, and it could be worse. You know, it represents the lowest of the low. There's no question about it. You know, when the team moved, that was just such a different thing. There was, you know, there were politics surrounding it. There were, you know, backroom meetings. There were airplane hangars, you know, as far as planes on runways in Maryland and things like that. Totally out of everybody's control. Even Bill Belichick, who was kind of villainized for no reason at all in that particular situation. Everybody wanted to be mad at somebody, and the only guy you could be mad at was Art Modell. But it wasn't really on the football field that was deciding things. And so that was a different feeling. That was a low feeling that, you know, a helpless feeling. This would be the lowest of the lows right now. To put together these kind of seasons would be, you know, I mean, just really as far down as you could possibly fall. I mean, it really would. It would be something that you'll look back on, and it's not a pleasant thing to go through. And I think you can hear that in people's voices, I'm sure, on your shows and listening to the postgame show coming home yesterday, people calling in. The frustration level is very, very high right now because people have been watching this now for 2 years.
Jim, thank you very much for the time. Hopefully we're talking about a lot better things coming up on Monday, friend.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Jim Donovan joining us on the show. Browns play-by-play voice set going up very soon. 92.3thefan.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.